You're tuned into the Digital Natives with a Cause podcast. We guarantee an interesting 10 minutes ahead, and it's best you use headphones for voice clarity. The podcast is brought to you by the Center for Internet and Society and HIVOS, who have jointly involved in a 3-year research inquiry into the field of youth, technology, and change. Their research aims to uncover the ways in which young people in emerging ICT contexts, particularly in the Global South, make strategic use of technologies to bring about change in their environments. The video contest is part of this project and extends the platform to the larger public, the entire world in fact, by asking participants to share their everyday digital stories. The contest runs on the premise that all of us are digital natives in the way we connect, think and act, interfacing with digital technology, tools and platforms through the day. So what do we know about the term digital native?
Since Mark Prinsky coined the term digital native about a decade ago, this concept has gained considerable currency. For Prinsky, digital native describes an entire generation associated with, quote, the arrival and rapid dissemination of digital technology, end quote. I understand this term to refer to those born during this period of socio-technological dispersion. Prinsky frames the emergence of digital nativity as a radical discontinuity in historical time. I do not share this view, as different populations in different eras have also experienced far-reaching socio-technological changes.
That was Leon Tan, jury member for the Digital Native Video Contest. And you just heard a decade-old summation of American writer Mark Prinsky, who believed that, quote, as a result of this ubiquitous environment and the sheer volume of their interaction with technology, today's students think and process information fundamentally differently from their predecessors. Another of our jury members, Namita Malhotra from India, doesn't just hold technology as instrumental in the social change. Rather, technology and social change are enmeshed, and I quote her, the impact is not merely in terms of tools and instruments of technology, but how technology has changed aspects of human experience, including our experience of time and embodiment. While clocks were invented to create a uniform time experience, they also functioned as an ultimate connection machine, integrating lives into a social, economic, and religious system, end quote. This fluid link between being and becoming is echoed by Shashwati Talukdar, our third jury member.
A digital native brings to mind an entity that is fluid and mutable. And here I'm thinking of the old saying, with old being in quotes, that nobody knows you're a dog on the internet. So being a digital native allows one to be an outsider and an insider simultaneously, you know, a dog or otherwise. And by this I mean it breaks down spatial boundaries. And by its very nature, which is disembodied, it also creates a corporeal outsiderness. I think this ambiguity actually gives one power while also taking it away, which is an interesting paradox, probably closer to the human condition than we think.
This paradox that Shashwati alludes to is seen in the most extremes of geographical disparities and social contexts. As Jeroen van Loon, a digital media artist from Netherlands and one of our jury members, shows in his new media art installation project, Life Without Internet, the Mark Prinsky defined imperatives for being a digital native is an outdated prototype. It fails to grasp the trajectories of the multitudes and their differing narratives. Van Loon concurs with Namitha and Shashwati when he says that there is no either-or between technology and culture. Over to Van Loon.
In my work, I research the influence of digital technology on different cultures today. Not in an academic way, but strictly as works of art. My most recent project is called Life Needs Internet, for which I traveled for 7 months to areas representing the extreme opposite of my Western access to computers and internet, including places such as a jungle in West Papua, but also hyper-modern cities like Singapore. In every place, I asked local people to write me a handwritten letter in which they wrote about the influence of computers and internet on their daily life, even if they didn't know what the concept internet meant. What makes it interesting is that digital technology is described through one of the most traditional mediums we have, the handwritten letter. Leibniz Internet resulted in a video installation which shows 8 different people and their handwritten letters all writing about the global digitalization and how it influences their lives. So in 8 steps, one can read about the ever-expanding influence of digital technology on different cultures across the world. For me, this has a lot to do with the research that the Center for Internet and Society did together with HIVOS. The term digital natives is, as they put it in book 1, a very limited term. A young, middle-class, white, educated, English-speaking, mostly male user located in a developed information society is the prototype for digital natives across the world. In my work, I met a lot of different people from different generations living in different cultures. I saw firsthand that the term digital native isn't as simple as I just explained. Everywhere, people are growing up in different places with digital technology, and in all these places, technology has an enormous impact on the lives of people who use this technology, but also on those who don't have access to it. Does this mean that digital technology has the same influence on everybody? Does this mean digital technology as a concept is one higher than the concept of culture? I don't think so. Technology and culture are two concepts intertwined and always changing each other. This is why there is no one definition of the digital native.
If the handwritten letter was a medium of expression in Van Loon's project, it was the inanimate telephone for Marcel Proust. Leon Tan sums this up rather poetically.
Consider this passage from Marcel Proust on a character in À la recherche du temps perdu, speaking with another over the telephone. Quote, "And because that voice appeared to me to have altered in its proportions from the moment that it was a whole and reached me in this way alone and without the accompaniment of her face and features, I discovered for the first time how sweet that voice was. Perhaps, too, it had never been so sweet for my grandmother, knowing me to be alone and unhappy, felt that she might let herself go in the outpouring of an affection which, on her principle of education, she usually restrained and kept hidden." Unquote. This is not to say that there is nothing special about digital nativity. Clearly, certain populations who have never known a pre-internet time find nothing strange about being connected more or less continuously through digital devices such as laptops, tablets, and smartphones, whereas many from pre-internet generations have reacted with something akin to moral panic to new modes of relating peculiar to digital natives. Some psychologists, for example, have gone so far as to suggest that conversations taking place online are simulations of real life and therefore unreal.
The video proposals that we received from all corners of the world, including Singapore, Germany, India, United States, Kenya, Colombia, Egypt, and Bulgaria, only go to reiterate the reflections of our jury members. One proposal reflects on the plugged-in way of life, while another participant focuses on the increasingly interconnected way of working globally, cutting across boundaries. Our jury members have some interesting insights into the participants' proposal.
It was really interesting to see how different all the proposals were. Some of them were taking the notion of digital native as a personal one, and some were very clearly political and sought an intervention in the real world. I'm very excited about all these ideas that were presented and look forward to seeing the pieces when they are done.
The Digital Natives Video Contest is an exciting project because it has the potential to portray what the lives of digital natives are like from different corners of the world. The generosity of the contestants in creating the proposed videos is commendable, as is the range of ideas suggested. The spread of proposed ideas is likely to address both the opportunities and risks of what we might call digital life, from the possibilities of meeting like-minded others across the world through online platforms and engaging in various forms of social activism, to the risks of what one contestant calls collective irresponsibility and the very real threat of state repression through various forms of online surveillance and censorship. I was particularly taken by a proposal to explore the spiritual aspects of digital technology, as the spiritual or vital is often opposed to the digital world of machines. Similarly, I was drawn to a proposal from the contestant who describes getting married to his first computer. Here, there is the potential to counter what has been called organic chauvinism. We humans are used to thinking that life is unique to organic matter. However, as the philosopher Manuel de Landa points out, such thinking, quote, leads us to underestimate the vitality of the processes of self-organization in other spheres of reality, end quote. In, for example, the digital sphere. I very much look forward to watching the videos and to learning more about digital nativity in different countries and cultures.
The video ideas and profiles of the top 21 shortlisted contestants are now online on cisindia.org. Voting for the top 10 videos is open to the public beginning March 10 to the 31st. Each of our top 10 finalists will stand to win €500 along with the opportunity to participate in a panel discussion on Framing the Digital Natives to be held in April. Thank you for listening to the Digital Natives with a Cause podcast. We hope you'll engage with the project and the contest through the videos that will soon be online. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Nilofer Anshar, and this podcast was co-produced with Philip Ketzer. Thank you.